yeah. That's right. Happy fucking happy hour. It's Helen Hong is in the house, everybody.
Yes.
What the fuck?
I was raising my glass. She told me to, and I raised it. And then
I love how, first of all, how easily enabled you are, because you were like, no, 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 no. I'm a Korean overachiever. I can't have, not before the, I'm like, just give a fucking glass of rosé. You're like, okay.
I know. I was like, oh, no, I can't. All right. Yes, I will. Okay, give it to me. Yeah. Yes, I will.
I am doing this expressly to make Suzanne Wong jealous and also my other Korean best friend, Mei Lee. Just so you know, I'm just being upfront about everything.
Okay. Yeah. I like your honesty.
Yes. Because Mei Lee does her mom too. Does your mom do the Igor? Does your mom do that?
I have a friend who's a comedian named Aiko. She's Japanese. And I just told her the other night, I was like, did you know that your name in Korean means, and she was like, I don't think I knew that. And I was like, see, we learn things every day. It's the Korean mother,
but,
like,
I don't know. There's something that makes you funny motherfuckers, though. Margaret Cho.
Yeah.
There's something specifically about North Korean, not just Asian, right?
North Korean.
Right.
You've never met a North Korean.
No, just Korean.
Korean.
You know what I'm saying.
Yeah. It's the, I have a joke in my act where I say Koreans are the, we're a particularly aggressive strain of Asian. I'm going to say we're the Ebola of Asian. For some reason, I don't know if it's the kimchi. I don't know if it's the cold weather.
I'm going to go with the
kimchi.
It's
the sleeping on the floor.
Right.
Something has made us very, very hardcore.
Right.
And so, yeah.
But
it's
fucking funny.
Yeah. Well, when you're raised with hardcore parents, you got to, you got to let it out somehow. Yeah.
Right. But, you know, my friend Mei Lee gets accused of, oh, you still Mara Cho's act about your mother. You do your, he's like, no, everybody's Korean mothers.
They're exactly the same. The first time I saw Margaret Cho do her mother, I was like, oh my God, how did my mother sneak into your house? Like, they're all the same. It's crazy. Korean is a very homogenous culture.
Right.
So, like, one mother's all the mothers.
Right.
They're all the same.
Well, yeah, I know, because May's like, what, I can't do my mom because Margaret Cho does her mom? Like, it's the same, like, and it's the same shit, because you were talking about your mom being like a size zero.
Ugh.
And May is, she may be like a zero and a half. She was my co-host on Oxygen and she was on CNN. But her mom would literally call when we were co-hosting and she'd be like, May, your face surround on TV. May is 4'11 and I'm sure she's not double digits.
My mother has been either a size zero or a double zero at certain point when she's like,
sure.
Oh, I feel so skinny. I'm a double zero. I'm like, bitch. And I've never.
You said
been...
in your act, your mom's a dick, which I think is very. That's cleansing for you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if Louis C.K. can call his little kids assholes, I can call my mom a dick.
Right.
Yeah. But my mom, I've never been as tiny as my mom, never, my whole life.
Right.
And so, especially when I was, in adolescence, I was a little chubbier. And she used to come home and be like, oh, Helen, I found something you can wear. And she would pull out like a size 16 something or other. And I'd be like, I don't know if I'm that big. She'd be like, oh, Helen, I found something your size. Look, it's huge, like a tent. It fit you, okay?
That probably didn't impact your self-esteem at all, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mom. I feel great.
So, because you said she was a two when she was pregnant.
Oh, yeah. She was one of those horrible bitches that's like,
right.
If she was turned away from you, you have no idea that she's pregnant. And because she's tiny. Like you. Like you're tiny.
Yeah, I know.
Both of you,
sorry,
actually.
We don't mean to talk about you.
And then she turns around. You're like, oh, that skinny hot lady. Whoa, there's a baby in there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Skinny and hot. Like you said, said that she's shaped like a chopstick, and she says that you're shaped like a
moon,
like a pork bun.
Yeah,
yeah,
or moon. It's interchangeable. Sometimes she calls me moon face, and sometimes she calls me pork bun.
Aww.
Oh, you're so cute, moon face / pork bun. Oh. You're so round, not like a mommy. I'm telling you, passive.
And you also
passive aggressive
talk
bitch.
About that your parents have been married 40 years, but they hate each other.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
can't stand each other. Because divorce is very taboo in Korean culture.
Right.
So nobody gets divorced. Like, even I say this in my act, all my relatives have stayed together. My aunts, uncles, grandparents, nobody's gotten divorced and nobody can stand each other.
Right.
So our family reunions are just a bunch of old Korean people trudging around being like, oh, this asshole. Someday I'm going to poison your kimchi. Just you wait. So, yeah. It's fun times. Fun times with
There's
Korean.
Also, you said your parents have like a hiss almost that they do at each other. Really?
Yeah. Like if they, if, yeah. Like when it's particular.
This makes
like
me feel better usually, about not being married.
It's yeah. usually like a benign neglect with each other, but then once in a while, like,
yeah.
Get
that's
out of
sweet.
My house. Yeah.
Yeah, get out really of my house.
Sweet. It's really good for, you know. Fun.
Because don't they, but they alternate between telling you you should be married and then.
That is the biggest irony. Is that they're programmed by Korean culture. Helen, when are you going to find a husband? Okay. But then every once in a while, they are so pissed at each other that they're like, Helen, don't do it. It'll ruin your life. Don't make a mistake.
That'd be bad if your life was ruined.
My life. Helen, don't ruin your life like my life is ruined because of a mommy. It's fun. Good time.
That's fun. Sorry. Fun. You're making me snorty. yeah, because your biography says Helen Hong is a comedian, herself. Actor, host, and chronically single. What? So.
It's true.
Yeah. What? What's that about? Let's talk. Let's talk.
Helen,
what are we looking for? What do we need? What's happening?
Well, guys, I just, you know, I feel like having poor relationship role models is not helping. You know, like I just told you.
You don't want you someone know. To go, to? You ruin my life?
You ruin my life. Also, it's hard for a lady comic to date.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've heard this.
Yeah.
You know, it's so unfair because...
I work in my basement, so yes, I've heard. Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, male comics, they kind of have rock star status.
Right.
Like, you know, because women love funny men. And so all my male colleagues, they'll go on the road. They, you know, they have a killer show. And then the women are lined up to me. Oh my God, you were so funny. Oh my goodness, you were so funny. We don't get, lady comics do not get that. You know, we get, are you going to make fun of me? Is this going to make your act? Are you going to make fun of me? Either that or we get dudes who like want to compete. Like, right. Hey, I got a joke. I'm funny. Yeah. I could be as funny as you. It's like, no, I do this professionally, yeah. Man.
No, they always used to say that men's idea of a woman with a sense of humor, someone that laughs at his jokes.
Exactly. That's exactly true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sense of humor. I want a lady with a sense of humor, meaning she better laugh at my shit. Yeah. It's so true.
I love that you, okay, first of all, Huffington Post, you were one of 18 comedians who could take over The Late Show from David Letterman. You were Huffington Post's
nice,
favorite female comedians
yeah.
list. And so even though you, this is your bio, although she cannot get it together in her own romantic life,
nope.
She's an excellent wingman, matchmaker, dating coach. You did Logo Channel's setup squad.
Yeah.
Right?
I was like a professional wing woman.
Wow.
On the Logo Channel. And I do have amazing luck. Like, if you want to get married,
right.
Hang out with me. I will make it. I'm like it's like a weird good luck charm. Like, rub my shoulder or something. Maybe rub my belly.
I'm going to try that.
I'm telling you. Rub something on me before
right.
I leave.
And it happens at every happy hour. I will. I absolutely will.
It's weird. I do have really good luck. I've like introduced like people to their husbands and wives.
Wow.
And people date.
Nice.
And people come to see me at my show. And then suddenly they're like, hidden off with other people at my show. It's weird. I think I've given away all my romantic juju.
All right.
So I have none
for
myself.
Where did you grow up? Tell me the whole.
I grew up in New York City.
Okay.
Yeah. In many boroughs of New York.
A lot. Running from the law, obviously.
Yeah.
Or I'm just guessing bad driving accidents. I'm sorry. Was that an Asian stereotype?
Sort of.
What?
I drove here, but don't look at the state of my car. A lot of dents, guys. A lot of dents. I grew up in Brooklyn, Queens, and Staten Island, New York.
No.
I've lived in every borough except for the Bronx, and I hope to keep it that way.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Let's
no
not
offense,
do that.
Bronx. But,
let's not
you know.
Go bonfire of the vanities. Let's try to. What? But it really is true. I mean, the whole Asian culture jokes that you and Margaret and my
well,
friend
you know
May make, it's really true. Like, it's all, every mom is the tiger mom. It's not just, like, one mom.
It's true. And not only that, but what I love about doing those jokes on stage is there's a lot of universality to it. Like, I've had so many Jewish women mm-hmm. run up to me after shows and go, you are my mom, but without the accent. Like, my mom is exactly your mom, but without the accent.
Right.
It's, you know, Jewish culture is exactly the same. A lot of Latin culture is the
right.
same. you know, Middle Eastern culture is the same. There's always going to be an aggressive immigrant mom,
right,
you know,
right,
who's like, you have to get married to our people and you have to become a doctor or a lawyer. And I heard Josh Goldschlitz is free. He just divorced, and you should snatch that up. You know, it's like, it's very, there's a lot of,
yeah, I was reading this interview where you were talking about that. That really is true. You were saying Asian comics certainly have as much material to draw from as Jewish comics do. We have pushy, nagging mothers, familial guilt, societal pressure to excel academically, become.
Yeah.
And so there's two choices, doctor or lawyer, when that's you're growing it. Up. That's it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, when I told my parents I wanted to become a stand-up comic,
right,
they were like, what? That was it. That was the extent of the conversation.
Right. What, and so what about marrying a non-Asian? No go? No go zone?
Oh, well, here's what's interesting about that is that they've become less, you know, set on me marrying a Korean guy as I get older. Because at this
they're
point,
loosening up at Japanese?
I'm old.
Just asking.
I'm what? Old as hell to them now.
So how old are you?
I'm like 9,000 years old. I'm Asian. You couldn't tell. You could never tell.
Right.
I could be 89 years
old.
I look good.
Yeah, you do.
What's up?
You do.
Black don't crack and rice stays nice.
Oh, yeah.
I invented that.
Helen Hong
I wrote
is
that.
89 years old.
I performed
ladies
that
and gentlemen.
On
doesn't
York
she look?
I look amazing.
Yeah, look at her. Black don't crack.
I know. You're
she looks
90.
Like she's in high school. Wow. Yeah, but.
You do. You look like you're
she's
in high
90.
School.
You're 89.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's fantastic.
Our shit is tight.
Yeah. What?
but here's what's funny is that when I was in college, people would ask me, Helen, do your parents care what race of guy that you date? And I'd be like, right, are you kidding? My parents are Korean. They have a color-coded terror alert system hanging on the fridge.
Right.
But now, as I get older, like when I turned 30, when I was, after I had turned 30.
I was sussing out your age.
I brought home.
Over 30,
I brought home
under
a white
89.
Guy. Yep. Uh-huh. Between 30 and 89. I brought home a white guy
yeah.
after I had turned 30. And my parents were like, oh, thank gosh, you're not a lesbian. Thank
oh,
you.
Oh, yeah. See, her parents have the same thing. They think she's a lesbian because she's not married yet. She's not.
Yeah, I'm 32. And they're like, you know, so,
so why are you
work,
gay?
Work. And my dad's like, my dad's a Republican. And he goes, you know, if just want to know if you're gay, it's okay.
He's very tolerant of things that she's not. Things that she ought, she is, not so much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I get it.
I'm just choosy. Okay? I'm just choosy. I am too. I'm very choosy.
Right.
You know what it is? I don't have kids.
Oh, you don't?
That actually makes it harder.
All right. Can we squeeze it out of you how old you are? I just want to get a frame of reference. It's above 32 and below 89.
I'm between 30 and 89.
All right. You don't want to have kids. How do your parents feel about that?
They've come to terms with it now. I think they realize what a bad mother I would be.
Right.
And so they're like, yeah,
me too.
It's
we both saved the world.
Yeah. They're like, it's probably a good choice. Probably a good choice.
Yeah.
Well, I have a younger sister and she wants to have kids eventually. So that's like my.
And your younger sister's
grace.
How old?
She's on a mission. She's sleuthing. You have your sleuthing face.
I'm just trying
on.
To get a frame of reference.
My younger sister does plan to have children, and that is.
And your younger
grace.
Sister's how old?
Stephanie. She's very.
She's from Canada. You wouldn't know her.
That's funny. Yeah.
That's funny.
She's Canadian.
Okay. Yeah. Sure. I know her. You could describe your act as a mix between Margaret Cho and Sarah Silverman, or other people have.
Yeah, because I do a lot of stuff about my family. I also do a lot of saucy material. Since then, I would also actually add maybe a little Amy Schumer. I talk a lot about dating. So I don't know who's the female comic that talks a lot about dating. But I'm when I say I'm like constantly single, I'm constantly single.
You've had a lot of first dates, I'm told.
So many.
So what happens?
I've been on a first
date. At what point of first date do you go, this will be the last?
It depends on the guy. You know, sometimes, like I was on a first date with a guy who had lived in Los Angeles for 17 years.
Right.
And I was saying something about, when you have kimchi in Koreatown. And he was like, what?
Wait.
And I was like, you know, like Koreatown. And he was like, where's that?
Oh, dear. Oh,
and
God.
I was like, there's a Korea. Wait, you've lived in Los Angeles for 17 years and you've never been to Koreatown? He's like, no. Blink, blink. And I was like, how uncurious. Wait, how dumb, how daft and like in your own bubble. Right. Koreatown in Los Angeles is huge.
It's a fucking shit,
you
man.
Can't not...
I love me some pho. I always said pho, but until someone corrected me.
Yeah, there's good pho in Koreatown.
Pho, right?
It's Vietnamese, though.
I know, I
you
love know, it.
Yeah, can but there's go? Good pho in Koreatown.
I love it.
Because Koreans love that broth.
I love it. Like, I love the,
Koreans
I get
love
the,
a broth.
I get the Super Bowl with, like, fucking everything in it. They're like, is that, like, some sort of eyeball? I'm, yes, I love it.
Delicious.
More. Tentacles, yeah. Tentacles, eyeballs, whatever. Mm. Oh, fucking awesome.
Yeah. So, but this guy, I was like, you've never been to Koreatown? Like, what rock are you under?
Right.
What an uncurious right. person.
Now, is this a white, this is a white gentleman?
White dude, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I like
I'm just
white
being
dude.
Judgy like your mother. I'm like, I go.
You do that really well.
Yeah.
I go.
Ah. I need Korean man who know what Koreatown is.
Yeah.
You also love to karaoke? What's that about? Just
best. I just like being in front of a crowd with a mic.
Is there something you like to sing for us? We have lots of songs in our things. Or...
I love, for some reason, I love singing Bon Jovi. I love me some Bon Jovi.
Really?
And all of
Do
his
we have
songs
any?
Are karaokeable.
Let's find some. Really?
Come on.
All of them? Bon Jovi?
Oh, living
really?
On a prayer, everything.
Like, oh.
Come on.
Yeah.
Bon Jovi?
Yeah. All right. I just wonder what your choice normally is.
I love any dude who starts a band and names the band after himself.
Right.
Like, that's some sassy.
No ego there. Right.
You know what I mean? Like, if I started a band and I had four other people in the band and I was like, we're calling this Hong. Like, that's bold.
Right.
Our band's, guess what, guys?
I like
our,
it.
Our band's name is Hong.
Hong. Everybody Hong tonight.
Yeah. I mean, that's some right. balls.
Yeah.
To be like, I know there. I know you guys yeah. have names, but we're calling this my name. That's what we're doing, guys.
Seemed to have worked. I don't know. I'm just saying. Wait, so you are a woman after my own heart politically. You tweeted the Supreme Court seat was stolen.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
What? It absolutely was stolen.
I don't know how you feel
Guess
about
what? We had a president at the time.
Right, right.
Who was had... a year left to his administration.
Right.
Yeah.
And
yes.
he was not allowed to. I'm actually right. more angry at the Democrats for allowing that to happen.
Well, I don't know that they could do anything about it, honestly.
Well, they could have made way more of a stink about it.
Oh, that's
though.
True. That's true.
I think there are ways that actually Obama could have installed him without
I think he should
approval.
Have recessed whatever because fuck them they don't play by any rules
fuck
and now look what's
them.
Happening we have a bunch of treasonous fucking Russian dictator puppet yeah. motherfuckers
that's right
pee-stained Putin puppets
that's right and you know the thing that's enraging to me is I was a big Bernie Sanders supporter
yeah
big Bernie Sanders
I was
supporter.
A big Hillary girl so let's not get into a fight now
no
it's not it doesn't matter now
exactly
yeah we have to unite
and absolutely yeah. but like the fact that everyone said oh there's no way Bernie can win because he's a communist we have actual communists running the country now.
They're actual.
Now we have
they're actual,
actual
Russians.
Communists. Russian communists are running our country. So I don't want to hear
I love
shit
that you,
about
you,
it.
Right. You tweeted, is it meth or heroin that makes you not care that your government's becoming a fascist dictatorship
yeah.
exploring options? Mm-hmm. No, don't. I just have my best friend on who's a psychologist, and we've been talking about how therapist's offices are overrun. Because he is a national trauma on the likes of 9/11.
Can I tell you yeah. a really interesting thing that I just learned, which is like a perfect illustration
yeah.
of that? Okay, so I just read, I told you I'm chronically single and I'm obsessed with dating. So I'm
right.
always reading stuff about dating.
Right, and that must be hard at your age of
30. Mm-hmm. Yep, 40. Exactly. Of
something. Flarn.
My age of, anyway,
mm-hmm.
so I just read, eHarmony put out a statistic. We all know what eHarmony is.
Yes.
It's the last frontier of dating. eHarmony is like when you're like, I've tried everything else, and now
this sounds because I like the music
I've
and the commercials.
Up. I've given up, and now I just need
this
to...
This will be.
This
everlasting. Will be. Yeah, of course
that
it will.
That ancient white
of
man.
Of course it will.
That ancient white pastor who's like, find the love of your life, and eHarmony. Oh, okay. That just put me in the mood.
That
great.
Seems
thanks.
Hot. Yeah.
Ancient
sure.
white man. I can find your husband. Oh.
Really?
Yeah,
really?
You don't seem like you're really
you can
dude.
Find your fucking catheter at this point. Your fucking hemorrhoid donut.
What did you say? say? Oh, what was I say? I was talking about your husband. Okay, thank you. Anyway, eHarmony is where you go when you've sort of given up on
your dreams
dating.
Have gone to die.
Your dreams have gone to die. You've given up on everything. You've given up on pleasure in your life. And you're like, I just need to find somebody to hold me.
I just need to find someone
to pay half the electric bill. So eHarmony just put out a study that said their traffic on their site spiked 35% the day after the inauguration and the day after the election.
Right.
And the last time they've had a spike that high was 9/11.
Exactly. Wow. I just want someone to die with in the nuclear winter that Donald Trump.
They think the world's ending. They got to find a
partner. The world is ending. Like, I don't even want to date. I just need someone to hold me in the fetal position.
That's what
I need.
When I die because of Donald
Trump. Isn't that crazy? Donald Trump is our new 9/11.
I know. It's true. No, yeah. There was a story in the LA Times. I just had my therapist's best friend on. She's like, yes, therapist offices are overrun. Everyone cites Trump as the reason. And everybody, I mean, families are saying crying is an everyday thing. Like, everyone's having panic attacks. They're wetting the bed.
I'm going to sue him for my lawsuit.
We should have a class action lawsuit for that motherfucker.
Oh, yes. Class action lawsuit for all the tooth enamel we've been losing because of all the teeth grinding. Right. I have ground.
I think dentists are behind this fucking... Russian dentists are behind this motherfucking bullshit. Helen Hong.
Hello, I'm Dr. Vladimir. I'm here to. I have a drill. Wait,
you
that was
tweeted
French.
If they that didn't want comedians weighing in on politics, they shouldn't have elected a joke. That is true.
So true.
That is true, man.
I know people are like, you're just
comedians are the only fucking truth tellers
you're just
right
a
now.
Comedian, why don't you stay in your why don't you stay in your own lane? Tell that to the reality star dipshit that did not stay in his lane and somehow became president of the United States.
How can they say that ever again?
He didn't stay in his lane, so why the fuck should I?
Right. How can you ever again say celebrity should shut up? It's like, really? You fucking elected a celebrity reality star joke.
A turd reality star to the highest office in the world. So, no. Right. The time for anybody staying in their own lane is over.
Right. All right. So tell me about Ellen. Let's talk about your life. So you're growing up in all five boroughs of
not the Bronx
in New York, because obviously running from the law. Your parents who hate each other are married 40 years, and you have how many siblings?
I have one younger sister.
Okay.
She's
how old?
She's years old.
Wow, she's tough to crack. Old. She's a tough nut to crack. Yeah. Okay, all right. But so, and what does she do? Did she become a doctor or a lawyer and make you look like shit, Helen?
No, I mean,
talk to Mama about what has happened.
She definitely didn't go into the arts, so that already puts her at a leg up. She works in tech, actually. Oh. She works in Silicon Valley.
Okay.
She's one of those tech people in the Bay Area.
Wow. And where are your parents still?
My parents live in Boston.
Oh.
Which?
They moved to Boston when they'd run out of boroughs to live in because of crime, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They were like, you know, they were wanted in the boroughs, and they were like, let's go to Boston.
What did your parents do that they had to run
it's
from
so
the law?
It's so stereotypical.
Uh-huh.
Okay. It's almost a punchline. All ready? Right. Oh. Yep. My Korean parents were dry cleaners. Come on.
Oh.
Really? No.
Oh.
Really?
Really?
It would only be worse if they owned a nail salon. Come on. Really? It's true. Stereotypes.
You opened your act saying, I gave all my mani-pedis today to be here tonight.
I'm telling you.
Okay. So you don't want me to shout you pick color? Okay. I won't do it.
Shout what?
You pick color. Okay. I will not. What? Okay, but that's a thing. Why is that a thing? The nail salons and the dry cleaners.
A lot of Asian business owners who came here to this country were trying to start businesses that didn't need a lot of capital to start. So you don't need a lot of capital to start a service business like dry cleaning and nail salon because you don't have to buy goods. You know, if you have a store, you have to put in money up front to buy the goods, then you resell the goods.
Right.
Right. But if you're doing a service business, like laundromat, dry cleaner, nail salon, you don't need to put in money up front for goods.
Right.
For goods.
Right.
It's just labor.
Makes sense. Yeah.
Right.
And they work their asses off, said Inno. Well, at least we know we have the labor.
My gels look fantastic.
Because the whole family, we're going to enlist the entire family is going to work. Even the 8-year-old kids are going to work.
You know, right. And the my dry cleaners, they love me. I put their entire family through college. They're like, oh. So, wait, you were featured in a piece in Rolling Stone, How Trump's Win is Changing Stand-Up Comedy.
Yeah.
Right? And interesting, you said 3 days after the election, in front of a predominantly white crowd at a club in a wealthy suburb of L.A., Helen Hong began her set with, hey, guys, does anyone know what to pack for an internment camp?
Which I thought was hilarious.
Right. It's fucking hilarious. Her opener was met with harsh boos and heavy groans.
Yeah.
I spent the rest of my set digging out of that hole. But for me, the post-election sentiment was so fresh and raw, I had to say something. See, I'm spoiled because I do sexy liberal tours, so it's all people that think like me, and they're all like,
yeah, no, that's the thing, is that stand-up comedians, and actually, if you had asked stand-up comedians if they thought Trump could win the election,
right.
We no all said yes.
Oh.
The comics knew, because we travel. Right. We're not in our little liberal bubbles. Right. We travel to places like Nebraska and Kansas and Ohio, and we're like, oh yeah, he can win. We see these people, you know? And so it's hard. Did you see just last night there was a video of a comedian named John Caparulo was at the Comedy and Magic Club in Hermosa.
Mm-hmm.
He had a drink thrown at him by a lady in the front row who was a Trump supporter.
Wow.
Because he was doing Trump jokes.
They're really nice in my experience.
Oh,
the
yeah,
ones that call my show, very, very nice.
Oh, yeah. And we're supposed to be the snowflakes.
Right.
No bitches. Y'all are the snowflakes. Right.
See, this is, but you know, this was so fascinating to me because I guess I am in my bubble in that, like, I have my little niche and I go do my sexy liberal comedy tour to sold out, you know, we did sold out the Pantages, Chicago
Amazing.
Theater, the Beacon.
Yeah.
But they're all.
They're your people.
My people.
That's how I feel when I do Wait, Don't Tell Me on NPR.
Right.
And I can make as many Trump jokes as I want and they're pretty much on board. But when I do my act.
Right.
If I'm on the road doing my act and I'm not in New York or L.A. or the Northeast, I have a floater joke, a toe in the water joke that will gauge whether this audience will go for some anti-Trump material.
Right. Right.
And if the floater joke doesn't work, then I don't do it.
How's it going?
Use.
How's it going to go post impeachment, you think? Post imprisonment of Trump? Is it still going to be
wait.
Hard?
I'm going to be popping bottles all day and all night. I'm going to be like, orange
but this was,
piece
I mean,
of poop is in jail. Orange piece of poop is in jail.
Oh, wow.
I just made that up right now.
Oh,
I just made
fantastic.
That song up because I'm so inspired.
No, but I was saying, like, this is so outside my experience because I don't stay in the coastal elite bubble. Like, I go to, you know, to cities all
yeah,
the time.
Yeah, but you're attracting people who would spend money
and
on
sometimes
your show.
They're like blue dots in a red state. But
you're
right. Like, it's a different experience than... is describing this Rolling Stone thing.
Yeah. You're doing a specific brand of show, which is that it's very politically minded.
Right.
I'm not. Right. I'm a stand-up comedian. I talk about everything.
Right.
I talk about dating. I talk about family. I talk about... So people are coming to see me as a comic. They're not coming to see me as a pundit or, you know, a lecturer, or they're not coming for some specific news. Some comics are like that. Like Jimmy Dore has made a great career on, you know, he only does.
Yeah, he's done the happy hour.
Yeah.
I mean, I think what's interesting is, like, now is our time because, like, you know, we're selling out Sexy Liberal because there are so many people. I mean, 75% of the fucking country didn't vote for him.
That's right.
So a lot of people feel like, and I think the resistance is so
strong.
They're
feeling shafted.
But I'm reading this going, really? You've probably read this. John Laster did a set at Gotham Comedy Club in Chelsea, which is liberal. Manhattan, Chelsea's a gay area.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
I worked there. Like, anyway, but he... blah, blah, blah. Hang on a second. So he, right after his show, he's a black guy.
Yep.
Right after his show, a white middle-aged attendee casually said to the bar, man, you were funny and you're black. Since Trump won the election, he said, there's a lot of America needs to reconsider. We need to put that politically correct stuff to bed. I should be able to call you nigger. Laster recoiled and admits that he nearly punched the man who quickly tried to apologize. He composed himself and left the club. But that's what Trump's made it okay to say to some fucking stranger in a comedy club.
Yeah. It's insane. And there are, like, even in our liberal bubbles, there are hardcore Trump supporters in New York and L.A.
Yeah.
Absolutely, I've met them. I've gotten into Facebook fights with them. I've gotten into real-life face-to-face fights with them. So it doesn't matter where you are. Unfortunately, and this is why I really supported Bernie, people just didn't want what was happening. You know what I mean? People just wanted to change.
Listen, Russia had a lot to fucking do with it.
Absolutely.
a lot of people were
disappointed and the FBI, after 8 years and it's of Obama, and they were like, anything but where
we're
going.
I think it's
going.
All intercombined at this point, the FBI and Russia and all of
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah. James told me that fuckturd had more to do with, you know, had as much, if not more, to do with Hillary losing than the Russians.
Word of the day, fuckturd.
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 James Comey is a fuckturd.
A fuckturd.
Mm-hmm. I stand
by
that.
But here's what I love about you. Okay, so in this Rolling Stone piece, the comic I just mentioned, the incident shook Laster so much, he's removed all political jokes from his act. It's just not worth it, he says. You were quoted in here saying we're human beings first and we're in front of hundreds of thousands of people every week. So we have to speak out about shit that's just wrong, filtered through the art of comedy. And so, because I'm like, no. That's what they want is us to shut up.
That's right.
And be too scared.
That's right.
Don't do that. Like, that's why SNL is so popular again. Because they're fucking shredding the Trump administration.
Yeah, and why Stephen Colbert's show is actually the number one.
Kimmel.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Beating Fallon.
Fallon. Fallon seems like a nice guy, but I thought, like, people don't want people who are going to tossle Donald Trump's hair and normalize him.
That was
legitimize
so enraging
him.
To me.
Yeah.
It was enraging
don't
to me.
Don't fucking
And you know what?
Him.
As much as SNL is doing well now, they better be, because NBC had more to do with putting Donald Trump in the White House than anybody. NBC.
They gave him $2 billion of free publicity, normalized him.
NBC loved Donald Trump and gave him so much platform. I mean, let's not forget, he hosted SNL not that long ago on the campaign trail. And so, you know, the fact that SNL is gunning for him now, you better be. You owe us.
Right.
That you're
I mean, we were just saying right up through Al Franken being the one that nailed Jeff Sessions. You're like, the comedians are the fucking truth tellers. Like,
after
this speech, when people were like, oh, he's presidential, it was Bill Maher and, you know, Kathy Griffin and Michael Moore and Rob Reiner that were like the ones that went, bullshit. This is fucking bullshit.
Because comics have the best bullshit-o-meter because great comedy is truth telling. How many times do you hear a great joke and you go, God, that's so true.
Right.
It's funny because it's so true.
Yeah. Right.
That is great comedy. And so our bullshit-o-meter is like through the roof. Like we can see and smell bullshit for miles.
Right.
And so that stupid joint session speech he gave, we were like, bullshit.
No, I mean, we're all like, you're watching the moment he's exploiting the Navy SEAL widow whose husband's death he ordered with his stupid botched raid over dinner with a dinner roll in his mouth.
You know what would have made her happier? Not being a widow.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, yeah. He's so happy in heaven watching his applause. He's not happy. He's fucking dead.
He's dead.
And he wouldn't be dead if it weren't for you.
Part in that. Yep. You played a part in that.
Oh, yeah.
Fuckturd.
Fuckturd. Thank you. Fuckturd. Ladies and gentlemen, word of the day.
Can I trademark that?
Yes.
Yes.
Fuckturd.
Hold your calls. Hold your calls. Fuckturd.
Fuckturd. TM.
But okay, one more thing in this Rolling Stone article. So Feroz Ozel, I don't know if you know him. He's a Muslim.
Feroz Ozel.
Okay.
Yeah.
He was saying that audience members yelled, Homeland Security's outside at him. He said, I've just booked shows in Missouri and Kansas, and for the first time I'm thinking maybe I need to get some brass knuckles.
Isn't that awful?
Yeah.
Isn't that awful?
Right. He said, I can sit here and say he's ruined comedy.
And if you met him, he's a Muslim dude. He was raised Muslim. He's half Pakistani and half Afghani. This dude was raised in San Jose. I mean, he's so California.
Well, that's the thing about the stupid Muslim ban. Like, even anything that's happened here, they're not people who just came in.
Right.
There are people that were here and are radicalized by motherfuckers like Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. I mean, but anyway, he said, I can sit here and say he's ruined comedy for me, or I can use this opportunity to wake people the fuck up. Mm-hmm. And I believe that's what I'm going to do. And that's what I think. Like, I'm going to change my actor. I'm not going to, like, ugh.
I'm glad that you quoted Feroz, because Feroz and I host our own comedy show.
Oh?
It's a politically themed comedy show. We do it once a month.
Yeah.
The week after the election, Feroz called me and said, Helen, we have got to do something. And I was like, I'm on board. I'm on board, brother. Let's do it.
Right.
And so him being an Arab American and me being an Asian American, and we both have immigrant families, we were like, we cannot sit still for this.
Right.
We are going all resistance all the time. So we do our own, we host our own politically themed comedy show where we make fun of the news that's happened.
Wait, which is that? Party on the Left?
That's right. Party on the Left with Helen and Faraz.
Coming up, if you're here in LA, at the Comedy Store March 30th, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right. Thank you for the plug.
You're welcome.
It's great. It's so much fun. It's an easy way to be part of the resistance because we give you some tangible, direct action items you can do if you're not really like, I want to help, but I'm not sure what to do. We can give you easy things to do to help and also learn about shenanigans that have been going on.
Right, right. Well, so, all right. So let's, you grew up in
19... I was born in 19...
Now, what happened after that? College? Yes, no. Where'd you go? What happened?
I went to the University of Massachusetts at Amherst.
Oh, all right.
I studied political science.
Oh, all right.
I wanted to become Connie Chung. Do you remember Connie Chung?
Yes, of course I do. I know her and Maury.
A lot of millennials have no idea who Connie Chung is.
I'm a weirdo, though. So.
Like, if you're, like, I've met various 20-year-olds who are like, hey, Connie, huh? Oh,
amazing.
Huh?
Yeah.
Connie, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, Connie Chung. Great newswoman. Back in the day.
Yep.
And, you know, since I was not going to become a doctor or a lawyer, as my Korean parents wanted, I was like, well, I know I want to, like, do something in front of the camera, but what? Because I didn't know you could do stand-up comedy as a job. I had no idea. Immigrant parents. If you were like, you know, you can get paid to do stand-up comedy, I'd be like, what?
What? Yeah.
There's life other than doctor, lawyer, or dry cleaner? What?
What?
So, but I knew I wanted to be part of the, I guess, entertainment world somehow. But the only way I seemed sanctioned was to be a newscaster.
Right. Right. How'd that go for you?
Clearly not well.
Not so very,
now I'm telling
not so well.
Dick jokes on stage.
Right. A lot of F-bombs.
Yes. Well, you know, if you had happened to be an anchor during the Bill Clinton thing, you could have said dick a lot.
That's true.
That was the greatest thing about it. Dick. Is that Dan Rather had to say the president's penis tonight. Bill Clinton's penis.
It sounds
that was
even
the
funnier
greatest
with the
thing
music.
About it.
Sounds even funnier with the music. Bill Clinton's penis. Did I say penis? Yes, I
penis.
Did.
Penis. I had to say penis.
Can we say other things like wang?
Shots in the background. Penis, penis,
penis. Penis, penis, penis.
Well, nowadays that our news people have to say pussy because
pussy.
The president said it.
Said grab.
Wow.
I know. That was my favorite fucking moment of the whole campaign is Anna Navarro, the Republican strategist, my future wife.
She's
on TV
awesome.
With a Trump surrogate. And she's like, she said it. She's like, the president?
Because she was quoting the president.
Right. Grab my pussy. And the other woman's like, my children are watching. And she's like, oh, really? It's okay for the president to say grab your pussy, but I can't say grab your pussy?
So good. The best. The
Wolf Blitzer's like, oh my god, I'm stroking out.
When is Wolf Blitzer not stroking out?
Right, he always looks like he's stroking out. He's just like, oh no.
So funny.
Oh, and then Navarro said pussy. Oh, this is not good.
So funny.
Yeah, because how do you cover it, right? How do you cover Donald Trump is... He's just a disgusting pig and just a filthy excuse for a human being. He's how do you even cover him? Not as a president or a presidential candidate, as a human being, as a carbon-based life form. He is just disgusting.
Yeah. That's why we just mock and mock and mock and mock, and we should feel entitled to do that because we have a fucktard running the country.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, fucktard has
TM.
Replaced.
Yeah. And we can't. And he's, you know, any idea that he was going to suddenly get into office and become this amazing, wonderful human, already disproven in the month and whatever, 3 days that he's been in office.
That's what was driving me fucking insane, that people are like, oh, he can read a teleprompter. Look how presidential he is. I'm like,
he's become a president.
First of all,
now.
He's a treasonous fucking Putin puppet.
Yep.
Illegitimate president that didn't. Win that's being proven every day. And secondly, he is just a horrible human.
Yeah, and we all know he didn't write that speech.
No. The only thing he ad-libbed was,
I know Ryan's in heaven, very happy with this applause break. We set a record. He tried to take credit.
Oh my God.
Amount of applause for the Navy SEAL who died unnecessarily in his stupid botched raid.
Yeah, the whole thing was disgusting.
Smoke and mirrors.
Disgusting. And I'm actually really angry at the press that they, you know, were saying, oh, he's so presidential now. What? He was calling y'all fake news yesterday.
Oh my God, they're all in like an abusive relationship.
Oh, that's the best.
They're like, daddy's not drunk tonight. Daddy loves us tonight.
Daddy didn't hit us. It's amazing. It feels great not being smashed in the face by daddy.
Daddy loves us tonight.
Yeah. No.
Tell us more about what do you like sexually? Tell us.
Is that a nice transition right there?
Nice. Very smooth.
Let's park this fucker. Let's park this podcast motherfucker.
I like a decent sized penis.
Do you? Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really? And that must be hard for Asian men.
Yeah, and I...
Sorry. I'm sorry. Is that another stereotype
wrong.
I just did?
I did, actually. There's a great video on YouTube of me interviewing people who have experienced Asian penises.
Really?
About the Asian penis size myth.
it is a myth?
And it is indeed a myth.
Really?
Yeah. Because, guess what, guys? There are Asian penises that are tiny and Asian penises that are huge. Just like there are white penises that are tiny or huge,
okay.
And there are black penises that are tiny or huge. So
you like a nice big wong, if you don't mind my saying.
I prefer dong.
Sorry.
A nice big dong.
Why are dicks always named after Asian names like a wong or a dong?
Or what about schlong? That's
or
Jewish.
Schlong?
That's Jewish.
Oh, all right. That's Jewish. You're right.
Wong, dong.
All right. All right, so you're a size queen. Okay, got it.
I am a size queen, and I finally come to accept that. I used to feel like it was really shallow, like, it shouldn't matter. I mean, if he has the right personality and he's a nice guy, who cares if having sex is boring? But now I've gotten to the point that I'm like, you know what? I'm a size queen. I'm just going to own it. I like a big ass.
You know, if you have to say, is it in yet, that's a no-go?
Yeah, I've had that.
I had a friend that said that. But she's gay now.
Is it
she actually
yet?
Said, is it in yet? And are you done yet?
Wow.
And those are two things that are no. Those are no-go zones.
That's not encouraging.
For most men. Most
not
men.
Not encouraging.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, if it wasn't, it would have gotten soft right then. It would have been like. I like a healthy schlong.
Yeah, you do. Okay. And what else? Smart? Funny? Anything? White? Asian? Doesn't matter?
All of the above. Yeah. All of the above. I'm an equal opportunity.
Yeah.
Doer.
Right. Yeah.
Doer.
Yeah. You're like all fucking on the first date, just all ready to go.
But I am picky. Like I can't, you know what? Here's the thing that makes it harder. I like it. I know what I like when I see it.
Right.
But I can't define it for you.
No. It's like pornography.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, that dick. Yes. That dick I like. I haven't.
Yeah, like I don't have a type in regards to height or hair color or race or anything like that. Ooh. And so that actually makes it harder.
Yeah.
It'd be easier if I was like, I like a dark haired guy with blue eyes and he's got to be 5'10". Like that actually makes it like I have a target to strive for.
Right.
But because I'm like, I don't know. I like them all. I know it. I know what I like when I see it.
Right.
It's hard.
Right.
Yeah. It's tough.
But no small dicks need apply, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
If you're listening right now.
I've definitely gone on dates with dudes who were like plenty nice and we got along well. And then when we finally got around to, you know, knocking boots.
Yeah.
I was like, yawn. It just made me like them less. Isn't that sad?
I know, but it's...
It made
me
like
them
less.
Vanessa, you can speak to this. I can't because I'm a gay girl. What happened? Vanessa, what do you... Vanessa Frumbles?
Yes.
Throw in a little truth here.
Because
you're tiny, tiny.
You're
so,
very
so like maybe for you you wouldn't
however,
really want
I dated a Chinese man once.
Uh-huh.
Yes, do tell.
And very small. I didn't know if he was in or not.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
So I get that.
Yes.
You know, usually, you know, Jewish white guys, Jewish guys, I usually date white or Jewish guys.
Oh,
all right.
So
Because you're racist against black people, obviously.
Clearly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
All right. Okay, so she perpetuated the Asian dick myth that you were trying to dispel.
So it's interesting. No, I don't. Wouldn't put it broad.
But just only one.
Just yeah.
One. Only
yeah,
one
exactly.
Asian dick.
That's
only
not
one
good.
Asian dick.
Small sample size.
Yeah, very small sample size. No pun
right.
intended.
Yeah. The polling, so to speak, was not scientific. There was only one dick. What?
I've experienced a handful of Asian dicks.
Uh huh.
And they run the gamut
at the same time. That's hot.
A lady never tells.
That's hot.
But of my sample size, which is bigger than your sample size, I have experienced a small, you know, definitely a couple of small ones, a couple of, you know, very average size ones. I've never experienced a massive Asian dong,
right.
But I've heard tell of them.
Oh, you have? Mm-hmm. Like Sasquatch.
Yeah, they exist. Oh, yeah.
Although that'd be a different name. I'm trying to think of an Asian name for Sasquatch.
Huge cucumber.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's good.
Huge cucumber.
What does your mom say at this point?
So big.
What is it your mom say at this point at your age of?
At my age of
not being married. What does she think you're going to find the right size at your age of flahum?
I don't think so. I think she's like, she knows I'm sassy and very. Yeah. She knows I'm very independent.
Right.
And
also a giant pork bun moon face.
And I have a giant pork bun moon face. And also, she knows I don't take no shit.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't take
right.
no shit.
That maybe you don't want to spend your life going.
Yeah. And so she's like, you know, it's going to be hard for you to find a dude that you're going to approve of.
Put up
that
with
also
you.
Doesn't. Yeah, that's also going to put up with me. So she's like, I don't know, Helen. I don't know.
Does she? No, wait. So they still have accents like that? Or are you just fucking
oh, yeah.
with us?
No.
Okay. So they came. They're immigrants. They have still have thick,
legit.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I just. I should show you this video that I took.
We don't have time for
yeah.
that.
Yeah, no. There's a video where we went. We ate at a restaurant. I just saw them because I was in Jacksonville last weekend. They
yes.
came to visit, and we ate at a restaurant called Two Dudes. It was like a surf shack type place. Two Dudes, and they were like, "Helen, how do you say the word?" And I was like, "How do you think that you say it?" And my mom's like, "Two Dudes." To do this. And then I'm like, Dad, what do you think? He's like, to do this. To do this. And I was like, it's two dudes. And they're like, to do this.
I just can't say it.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm not laughing at
like,
you.
I was like, dudes.
I'm not laughing at you. I'm not laughing at you.
Dudes. Do this. Do this.
Oh.
How it's old? On my Instagram.
How old are they?
I
now?
Put that video
How old
up
are
on
they,
my Instagram.
Your parents?
It's adorable.
How
so.
Old are your parents?
My dad is, and my mom is.
God damn it, she's too smart and Asian for me. Uh-huh. And your mom's
My dad is the ripe old age of, and my mom
Your mom is
Igor.
Okay.
Igor.
You're too goddamn smart for me. That's why I have to cheat off you.
Igor.
Helen Hong, you are fucking delight,
Thank
ma'am.
You
really
Stephanie.
Are.
Stephanie, you are a delight, too.
Call Lyft or somebody. Don't drive home, babe. Everybody's sake, like, please. You've had a thimble of rosé. You're
I'm
Asian.
Like,
don't do it. Listen to her on Wait, Don't Tell Me, March 10th and 11th. Party on the Left, Comedy Store, March 30th.
Yes.
Fucking awesome.
Yes.
I go just worship her on Twitter.
Thank you, Stephanie. This is fun.
I have food for you. I have chopsticks.
Ooh.
Don't be. No, don't be. I got them for everybody. It's not racist. I did. Right?
Chopsticks all around.
Happy fucking happy hour, Helen Hall.